Concerns are being raised about a new UBC mining institute that is in its early stages.
UBC SFU and École Polytechnique de Montréal were part of a coalition that was awarded a $25 million grant by the Canadian International Development Agency to open up the Canadian Institute for Extractive Industries and Development.
The institute will also receive some $4 million in initial funding from strategic partners. The institute's main function rests in helping developing nations make better use of their natural resources. It will act as a research and training center for technical knowledge while also focusing on policy and legislation related to resource extraction. The extractive industry of Asia, Africa, and Central America alone is worth about $1 trillion a year, a fact the institute's press releases are quick to point out. However, the reputation of many international mining companies, including those based in Canada, is less than perfect. Colombia, Greece, and Nicaragua saw major protests against Canadian mining companies this year. The social and environmental impacts of mining are often very grim. The rising price of commodities means that the sector isn't going anywhere soon either. I talked to two UBC students who are part of a loosely knit group of individuals with questions about the mining institute and the way it'll be run.
My name is Emily Hopkins, and I'm a fourth-year UBC student, and I'm just trying to be globally conscious and an attentive student to what's happening around on my campus and in Canada.
Same here. My name is Simon Child, and I'm a third-year political science student, and I'm very concerned about some of the things my university is becoming associated with.
And how did you get involved?
I know Simon from being around on campus and going to some events that raise questions that are globally minded. And through that, Simon spoke to me about the Institute and asked me if I was interested in exploring some of our concerns. I know that personally, I also have concerns about what this Institute could do on campus, but I also think that with some structural adjustments, and as long as the goals that they claim to have are in fact what they try to do, I think that the Institute could potentially do some good.
So you're not really concerned with halting the industry, the Institute from happening as much as changing and making sure they're staying true to what they believe. Is that it?
I think that I know for myself that does hold true. However, the fact you stuttered over industry and institute is important to me. I want to make sure that this is an institute that is independent from industry, and it claims to have independence from industry. I also want it to, though it's being funded by the Canadian International Development Agency, also not be afraid to be aware of certain practices that are unethical, that are held by Canada. And so I would like the Institute to be focused on Canadian legislation and ensuring that Canada has ethical practices both at home and abroad.
For you, Simon, what are your main concerns with this Institute?
Well, there are many, and by no means is, you know, what I can just say here exhaustive, and there are many other concerns that students that I've spoke to have had. But mainly, they go around the issue of a conflict of interest, is I think what really the thread that ties many of the other issues together, in the sense that the Canadian government, you know, as many other governments do, has an explicit policy of promoting its corporate citizens and the interests of its investors overseas, as, you know, many governments do. And this institute is going to be funded by, as Emily was saying, the Canadian International Development Agency. So for those listeners who may not be aware, that's the branch of the Canadian government that deals with things like foreign aid and international development assistance and things of that nature. That this government body, which has supposedly its mandate of reducing poverty in developing countries, is funding this institute, which is going to be part of a larger foreign policy. And this larger foreign policy is, those listeners who are following along to things that have been going on at CETA or the Canadian International Development Agency know that international development policy in Canada has become increasingly tied to Canadian commercial interests and becoming about also benefiting Canadian corporate citizens. Now, this is not just my analysis, you know, this is not some left-wing critique. This is actually the discourse of the minister himself, or the former minister, Julian Fantino, who gave the grant to UBC, or gave this project to the coalition of UBC, SFU, and a school in Montreal. The important point that I want to make here is, and a point that's come up in discussion, in that many, you know, professors on campus are doing amazing work with grants from federal funding. And I don't want to discredit any of that and say that federal funding is bad. That's one thing. This is categorically different. This is the government saying that we have this institute that is part of our international development policy, which we have said before is for also, in addition to reducing poverty, also promoting our commercial interests. Which university wants to take this project on? That is a categorically different kind of funding. So I think it's very important to note that it is not, this institute was not UBC's idea. It was CETA and Ottawa's idea.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like this issue is relevant for UBC students? Is it something that they can get behind?
I think that it is absolutely key for UBC students. It is operating out of our own university, and my name is associated with this university. When I graduate, my degree will say, like, I have a degree in chemistry from the University of British Columbia. And we claim that we are protecting human rights from here. And I want to make sure that I believe that. And that when I graduate, I believe that the institute that I worked with, that I paid thousands of dollars to, that it is, in fact, a place that is ethically responsible. There have been moments where sometimes I feel like that's come into question for me, and I really feel like this institute could have the ability to have me have a lot of confidence in it. However, the way that it's currently set up, I am concerned that instead of it stopping the exploitation by Canadian mining companies, it might facilitate it. And that's something I'm quite concerned about. However, with small structural changes, so like really specific parts of this institute, I think that it might have the potential to be something that I could be proud of.
So what efforts are being taken by you guys to make sure that the institute is aligning itself properly with the university and with the responsible practices of the university?
First of all, I just want to echo Emily's point. I mean, I think that was on point, that this is something that as UBC students, our name and our educational privilege is going to be associated with now this institute, which is in turn part of a foreign policy, which is in turn part of a larger industry, which is very problematic. And although those problems aren't happening necessarily here on our campus, somewhere in the world, in Colombia, Guatemala, the Eastern Congo, they're having potentially very harmful effects on many vulnerable people. I'd also want to add, you know, one issue to this is that this is an international institute, but the Canadian mining industry and the Canadian extractive industry also does not have a great reputation with Indigenous communities here in Canada. I mean, just look at the uprising around here with Idle No More and Bill C-45 and a lot of the environmental issues as well. So this is part of a much larger phenomenon that we're implicated in very different ways. But to answer a question, what are we doing? I think it's, first of all, educating ourselves. I mean, we can speak on specific examples of what it is about this institute that we have issues with. And through that education, thinking critically and then raising questions of the administration. We don't see necessarily that there is enough accountability in terms of this institute being held to those potentially redemptive principles which Emily talked about. And we think that students, therefore, have to hold their institutions accountable and ask very tough questions about, okay, this institute will work for mining, for development. Development for whom? In whose interests?
That was UBC students Emily Hopkins and Simon Child talking about the questions they have for the new UBC Mining Institute. Professor Benjamin Richardson is the director of UBC Law Faculty's Center for Law and the Environment. He was approached by the Institute for his input in its development. I spoke to him over the phone about what the Institute has the potential to accomplish.
I think what the Institute can do is help to nurture best practice standards. It can have an educative role. It can, through workshops, training and education, sort of help build capacity. I mean, it alone, it doesn't have the capacity to dictate or regulate, but it contributes in a measurable way, an important way, as we'll see, I think, over the next 5 years, in helping to highlight the importance of sustainability.
Dr. Byrne Klein is the acting director of the Canadian International Institute for Extractive Industries and Development. He is also the head of the Department of Mining Engineering here at UBC. I spoke to him at the Institute's new administrative space, located in a quiet part of campus. After our interview concluded, Klein talked about the possibility of having an open forum where students could voice their concerns and ask questions about the new institute. He plans on having this forum before the end of the year. The institute is currently in its internal development phase. Most of the offices are empty, and the walls of the space are bare.
why would UBC submit a proposal to CETA if there's already a mining school at UBC and the Norman B. Keppel Institute for Mining Engineering, which has been committed to sustainable development and corporate social responsibility? Why would there be another institute?
Okay, so the institute actually falls, it's strongly linked to the Norman B. Keppel Institute of Mining. The Norman B. Keppel Institute of Mining is focused on undergraduate education and graduate student education and research. The institute is different from, it's not a department, it's not a university department. It's different because the intent of the institute is actually to work with national governments. So the client of the Keble Institute are the students, and the client of the Extractive Industries Institute are national governments in developing countries that have mineral, oil, and gas resource potential, but not necessarily a lot of experience in knowing what are the best practices in order so that those countries can benefit from those resources.
Okay. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the strategic partners you're talking about. Mm. What is the vision for these partnerships? How they'd be working together? And to what ends will
they
be working together?
Okay, so strategic partners, there's a whole spectrum of them. Lots of different types of organizations. As I said, other universities, sometimes NGOs, sometimes companies who have specialized services that might relate to environment or health that we want to engage, or in some cases it could also be mining companies who are working in a country who have knowledge of working in that country. So the way that we will engage them is, first of all, at the program development stage. I talked a little bit about this earlier, is when we're trying to understand what should the institute be doing, we really need to understand, well, what's already being done in a country. It might be that AusAid or CETA have already got some programs going on. We don't want to duplicate. We would rather coordinate and collaborate if that was the case. So we want to engage all of those strategic partners to help us better formulate what activities would be most effective, to set our priorities, and then once we've defined those activities, we will describe them in some type of a document, and that document will be reviewed for approval, suggesting that, okay, everything makes sense, falls within the mandate of the institute, go ahead. And then we will engage those strategic partners to actually help us deliver. For instance, if there's an expert in environmental sciences and health, and we want to improve the knowledge within a government about the environmental health implications of mining activities, we can engage that specialist. And they can come from a private sector company, from another university, or even from an NGO.
Can you talk about who these partners are? Like, other, like, kind of getting more specific apart from the types, like, I mean, there's a $4.3 billion in initial funding that was categorized under coming from strategic partners.
Mm-hmm.
So where is that funding coming from?
Okay. So I'm not reluctant to talk about the partners. I'm very willing to, but they agreed to support our proposal. They won't let us support. Right now, we aren't engaged with them,
mm-hmm.
and I think that, to be honest, I really want to get their permission to say, can we list you as a strategic partner? So I don't want to give specific names, but I can talk about, easily I can talk about the universities across Canada, the University of Toronto, McGill University, École Polytechnique, well, they're a coalition partner, York, it looks like University of Calgary will be a partner. So
NGOs?
Yeah, there are, but I want to ask their permission before
okay.
I put their name out there. Operate.
So what are the aspects of the Canadian mining industry, especially the companies working outside of Canada like you're talking
mm-hmm.
about, need to improve? And what actions is the Institute taking to address those
mm-hmm. Well, the Institute doesn't work with industry. We are not, we don't deliver to industry, we deliver to national governments.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I guess that's the second part of your question. you know, quite often when a international mining company is working in a country, some of the issues that come up result from an inadequate knowledge within that country of how to manage resource development. You know, in Canada, it's still evolving here. We don't necessarily do things as well as we should or could, and we're learning. And we're learning through a lot of mistakes. And in a similar way, mining companies working abroad are probably learning through those same types of mistakes. There's actually not a really big difference between the sensitivities of mining in Canada compared to anywhere else in the world. The issues are very similar. So, you know, there isn't one specific issue. You know, there's so many different countries that Canadian mining companies are working in, and the circumstances are different in every country. But because there isn't a lot of capacity in some of those countries, quite often the mining company has to play the role of both negotiating with the national government and informing the national government, you know, about what are the best practices.
But you won't be working with industry.
We're not working with industry, no. We're working with national governments. So we're an independent arm's length group that can inform those governments of best practices. And we aren't there to tell them what to do. We are there to say, okay, you know, what are the best models for developing a resource economy? You know, is Chile a good model? What have they done over the last 25 years? And, you know, why are they the strongest economy in South America? Is Norway a good model for the way they've managed their oil and gas sector? But it really comes down to what are the local values and goals, because we can only provide them with the information. It's then up to them to take the ownership and do something with that information.
How will the institute be held accountable, especially considering it was set up using federal funds? How will the governance of the institute reflect the concerns of students and faculty in the school?
Okay. Well, also a great question. You know, I think that we need to be judged on who we are, what we've done in the past, and what we will do in the future. We shouldn't be judged on speculation of what we might do, based on where the support came from. If the federal government wanted to continue development in the way that it has over the last years, they wouldn't have reached out to a university, which is you know, a place where free thought and academic freedom are values.
There's very little doubt that the Institute has the potential to bring positive change and development in resource-rich countries. To some extent, it is up to those at UBC to ensure that the Institute is not operating at the expense of communities and the environment of the developing world. However, it'll be a little while before we can be sure that the Institute's ethical convictions are as clean as its brand new walls.